Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join me for this weekend devotion as we talk about having faith for the race. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you that in Christ we are made free. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit we can know what your will is in Christ Jesus, and so grow in our faith and witness as we live in the light of that will. Amen. Our reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, all the way through to chapter 12, verse 2, and I'm reading from the NIV. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Hebrews chapter 11 is typically referred to by various commentators as faith's hall of fame, of examples from the past of significant men and women who lived by faith in God. I think that referring to the list of names in chapter 11 as a hall of fame may leave most of us feeling a little stranded, left behind as underachievers. And I'm not sure that was the intention of the writer, since those mentioned had significant problems of their own. Instead, the list encourages us to be people of faith like them, who walked with God and witnessed his hand in their lives, despite their various weaknesses. Just consider the names recorded in verse 32. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David and Samuel. Gideon struggled with doubt and insecurity. Barak needed encouragement to act. Samson was known for his impulsiveness and weakness for women. Jephthah made a rash vow that led to tragedy. David committed adultery and murder. And Samuel's failure to raise godly sons contributed to Israel's rejection of God's rule and ultimately their request for a king. In spite of these issues, their one significant and redeeming quality was that they trusted God implicitly, walking by faith and in God's grace. They did not shrink back from the challenges of the day, but steadfastly gave themselves to the call of God on their lives. On the one hand, there were those whom God used to accomplish great things, while on the other there were those who lost their lives, and in some instances were persecuted and mistreated, many having to live in hiding in desperate conditions, all because they lived by faith, holding fast to God's promises. For this reason, the writer of the book of Hebrews appeals to the readers, us included, to not give up our faith, and the appeal comes to us in two parts. The first part is to explain what faith is. This is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, which says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." But this is more a description of what faith does and how it works than simply a definition. True Bible faith is not blind optimism or a manufactured hope-so feeling, neither is it purely an intellectual assent to a doctrine. It is certainly not believing on the basis of no evidence whatsoever, for that would be superstition. Remember, for us today, Jesus was an historical figure, and there is biblical evidence surrounding his incarnation, his message, and his works. Rather, true faith is obedience to God's transforming word, which is the Christian's evidence in spite of circumstances and consequences. Such faith operates in this way: God speaks, and we hear his word. We trust his word and act on it, no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. This means that while circumstances may likely be difficult to live under and the possible consequences frightening or unknown, we are called to obey God's word just the same and to believe that he will do what is right and what is best for our lives. The problem for the church is that the unsaved world likely does not see a great deal of this kind of faith in action in the church today, and therefore sees nothing that seriously calls them to follow Jesus. Two things in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, summarize what true Bible faith is. Firstly, faith is being assured of what we hope for. That means faith is to a Christian what a foundation is to a house. Faith provides us with confidence and assurance that God is with us and that we will stand on solid ground. So one might say, faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Secondly, faith is being certain of what we do not see. This implies having an inward conviction by the Holy Spirit that what God has promised, he will in fact do, especially as regards the promise of a resurrection and eternal life with him. The historical witness of those who had gone before us demonstrated that these elements were part of their lives as they walked with God. Verse 2 says that for this they were commended, or as the King James Version puts it, they obtained a good report. A good report or witness is an idea that occurs four times in this chapter, ending with a summary in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where the list of men and women of faith are described as a great cloud of witnesses, and they are witnesses to us because God witnessed to them by his divine approval of their life and work. Thus, faith is a very practical thing. It enables us to understand, to some extent, what God does, to see, to some extent, what others cannot see, enabling us also to do what others cannot do. People disparaged these great men and women when they stepped out by faith, but God was with them and enabled them to succeed in his name and for his glory, and for this they received a good report. And so we come to the second part of the writer's appeal to his readers to hold on to their faith. And that was to consider the practical achievements of the kind of faith that we have just defined. Much is said in the earlier verses of chapter 11, and our reading is right near the end of the list, a list that speaks of practical achievements or faith in action. And in that list, there are various individuals who, because of their faith actions, are specially acknowledged. For example, Abel's faith caused him to express true worship of God. For that, his brother Cain killed him. Enoch's faith drew him into an exceptionally close walk with God, so that he did not die, but God took him. Noah's faith caused him to work for God tirelessly in building the ark in response to God's warning, which took many years to materialize, and in the end, he and his family were saved from the flood. Abraham's faith enabled him to wait on God and follow him to a land which he did not know of, but would elude him because the city he sought was the city of God beyond this life. He also waited on God by faith for a son, Isaac, the son of promise, who would follow God in the same way and then, in turn, by faith, bless his own sons, Jacob and Esau, in terms of what God had promised them. Now, while these individuals are emphasized in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11 and included Joseph, Moses, Joshua, and Rahab, we are told in verse 13 that all these people, which would include those names mentioned in our reading, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted, by their faith actions, that they were aliens and strangers on earth. This idea is reiterated again in verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And the notion that they admitted, by their own faith actions, that they were aliens and strangers on earth, accords with Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 and verse 19, which says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But this is not the case, since the conviction that we seek a city that is not made with human hands and are therefore aliens and strangers on earth will serve to draw faith actions from us even when we do not receive the things promised." And so as we draw to a close, in each instance we will find in Scripture these same elements of faith in God's people. God spoke to them through His Word, they were stirred in different ways to act on His Word by faith, and they obeyed God, and He took care of them. For us, it's the same. Therefore, in everything in this life, we need to trust God and walk by faith, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to stand against every temptation to give in to our natural inclination to please ourselves instead of God. As we live by faith, we will gradually become the persons God wants us to be, and people who will be fruitful in all kinds of faith actions. This brings us then to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, which concludes in this way: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We are called to understand ourselves in continuity with this cloud of witnesses and be encouraged by these examples of faith, knowing that while faith may not necessarily bring that unseen thing to pass as a rule, God's overall plan to save His people remains in place so that we may attain to the resurrection. But more importantly, we are to fix our eyes on the supreme example of faith and faithfulness, Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we are to shake off hindrances and the entanglements of sin, so that we may be single-minded in our pursuit of knowing Jesus and bearing witness to His salvation. So may God grant us the grace we need and faith for the race marked out for us. Amen. Let us pray. Holy, loving, and gracious God, we thank You that we can follow You knowing that You care for us, and that Your care should not be understood always in terms of our comfort and well-being in this life, but because we are Your children through Jesus Christ, Your Son. Help us therefore to live before You by faith. Amen. And God bless you.